Hi and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Yeah.
What's up, Buttercup?
What's up? It is Halloween, the day that we're actually recording this, and so I'm losing my mind because I feel like I have to do a lot extra right now because yeah. I think last week on the podcast I told you guys about trunk or treat. I did not make the school Instagram post.
Or you would hear it on if you,
you
guys
hear
really
all about
know,
it on Patreon. And I require a lot of validation, so I'm hoping to get it tonight with putting out a lot of extras.
Do you have the big candy bars?
I haven't even gone to the store and bought candy yet.
Because you gave it all away at Trunk or Treat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, go on you. You guys are listening after Halloween, and now it is November. Holy shitballs, by the way.
Yeah.
You guys, we need
gobble, gobble. It's right around the corner.
All of it. Yeah. Are you putting up Christmas decorations? Let's talk that.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to put them up inside like a psychopath.
Yeah, me too.
November 1st. And then I'm just not going to, I have it on my calendar. I'm not going to put them up outside until the second week of November.
Okay. All right. I'm down. I could do that too.
And then
I could do that too. I'm not going till November. I'm going to start decorating November 5th.
Inside.
Inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'll wait till the outside. But you know, here's what it's like. I started cleaning up Halloween before Halloween existed, you know,
yeah.
Before the day, because I'm like, I'm kind of over it, but I think that's good. Cause then you got it. You kind of get it out of the way.
Oh yeah. I'm over like, it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, so, I hope my kids had a good day at school today.
Yeah,
because,
they did.
Well, I hope they did because it's my girl's first year at middle school. And so I had asked around, you know, like, do kids wear costumes? And I'd heard some kids do, but it's not really a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, girls, like maybe you just wear part of your costume and like your regular clothes and then you can like take it off.
Yeah.
No.
No. Okay.
They are like, they start putting on a little and then they put it like all on. And then we pull up to the school and like no one is in their costumes except for teachers. I'm like, oh God. I'm like, it's cool. I'm like, you know, all those kids are going to see you in your costume and be like, I wish I wore my costume too. And they were like scared. Yeah, right, Mom.
Oh, okay. So I have two things. One of my kids goes to public school and they sent a note, no costumes, no anything to do with Halloween and no candy, nothing. Like, I was like, that's so lame.
That's a little lame. You can't even wear like a fun headband or something.
Like, lame to the lame-o. I think you could wear a headband, but I mean, come on. So my son didn't care because he was so stoked the Dodgers won that he wore his Dodgers jersey.
Oh, yeah. Big night last night. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was like, I don't care. I'm just wearing Dodgers jersey, whether it was my Halloween costume or not.
Yeah.
Which it's not. But then my other kid goes to a private school and he has this Mario costume. But then he also got the costume where it, like the Mario Kart goes around his belly and it like blows up. It's like a little like car. So I'm like, hey, yeah, maybe you just wear, because I think it's the same thing. He's in middle school and now, and I'm like, I don't know if people are going to dress up. It's like, maybe you just wear the Mario, not the whole car sitch.
Yeah.
He was like, no way. I'm taking it all.
No way.
Doing it all. I'm like, okay, fine. Rock it. I wasn't the carpool drop off this morning, so I have no idea if anybody else wore a costume. But I just like that they want to stay young. That's what I don't like about the other school where they're like, you can't bring anything. It's like, these kids are still kids. Let's keep them kids as long as possible.
Totally.
Because, you know, the shit we talk about is not kid worthy and it's scary. So you're like, just keep them young and innocent.
Yeah. Yeah. My kid actually just yesterday asked me in the car, like, he is so young minded. So I'm really terrified to send him to middle school next year.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me, like, we've had the whole baby conversation before, but he needed some clarification.
Oh, we did not. So, yeah. Okay. What?
So I told him how it happens. And he was like, that sounds so painful. I'm like, yeah, it is.
Wait, you mean like where babies like come out of?
Where they come out of. That was his clarification.
It is painful.
I'm like, yeah, it is. I'm like, imagine pushing like a lemon out of your little hole, you know? I'm like, it's a lot. I'm like, but I'm like, when I had you, I had what's called a C-section and they just, you know, cut my stomach open. And he was like, oh, thank God.
He doesn't want to think about the actual coming out of that kind of hole in his mother's body at this point.
Oh, yeah. But the sisters that are just 1 year ahead of him, you know, are like, they're so wise. As soon as this conversation started, they were like, oh, buddy, you don't want to know. Like, this is not going to go anywhere you want to hear about.
Oh, God. Probably the story you're going to tell me is something I don't want to hear either.
Oh.
Or do
I? Maybe. You know, it's ironic that this, I mean, we're in fall. There's a lot of talk of pumpkins.
Mm-hmm. There is.
In the story.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Have you carved pumpkins?
No. I know this is I'm telling you, I'm very behind.
Oh my God, I am too. We were like, I think we have to come home and carve pumpkins before we go trick-or-treating. They're like, I don't know what we're going to do.
So. Well, I think my husband is actually better at carving pumpkins than I am. It's his hidden talent. Mm-hmm. So I really hope he gets home at a reasonable hour so he can just do it with them because I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I think we just do it tomorrow. Like, we're the November pumpkin carvers. Mm. Okay.
Okay.
Let's get to it.
Sure. Okay, today's episode is a listener suggestion from Angie Pankhurst.
Thanks, Angie.
Thanks, Angie. A.B. Shermer, father of three, husband to a wife of 30 years, and pastor. Pastor?
Pastor is like El Pastor, like it's like a meat.
The meat. Yeah, yes. Hungry. Yeah.
And pastor is the pastor. Preacher man.
Okay, preacher man. Okay, that's what he was at the Bethany Methodist Church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Okay. Lebanon, Pennsylvania is population around 25,000. You can find yourself a brand new, beautiful 4-bedroom, 2,000 square foot home for about $550. Sounds dreamy to me, right?
Sounds affordable.
Yes, but didn't particularly matter to the Shermers, seeing as how AB was the pastor, the family resided in the church's parsonage. You know mm-hmm. how they be doing that? Like some churches own their own home, and that's a perk of being the pastor is they get to be living rent-free.
Yes.
The Shermer children, who adored both of their parents, who were raised in the church, were now grown and out of the house, and so AB and his wife, Jewel, were free to rage like, you know, pastoral families do in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. And they did. And by that, I mean, AB did all the raging behind Jewel's back that he could, if you believe word on the street. You know, mm-hmm. nobody's really come forward, but there's talk. There were ladies on the side. He was a perpetual pumpkin eater. That's what I'm talking about. Pumpkins, right?
Cheater, cheater, like real pumpkins?
Nope. Cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater. Okay. Type. Okay.
Yeah.
But it all stopped in April 1999 when tragedy struck the Shermers. AB came home from a jog and found Jewel unconscious with the vacuum cord wrapped around her ankle at the bottom of the stairs. He called 911 and EMTs took Jewel to the hospital where it was determined that she had suffered an irreparable brain injury. And so AB made the decision to take his wife off of life support. And since Jewel was an organ donor, her organs were released. Now, you've got to fall pretty hard down a flight of 7 stairs to sustain that serious of a brain injury and also not have a bruise or break a rib or anything else on the way down.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to imagine, but foul play was not suspected because, well, I mean, it's not impossible, right? Just not really probable if you really think about it. And also, the EMTs are the ones in Lebanon that notify the police if they suspect foul play. And you can imagine they aren't likely to suspect the pastor is playing foul.
Right.
Remember that the Shermer home is on church property, and I'm picturing like loads of crosses and like precious moments angels as the main decor.
Yeah.
Okay? Doilies and shit. Okay. So they are naturally assuming nobody pushed Jewel. this was just, you know, a tragic tumble. So because police weren't notified initially, they were not obligated to investigate. But when Jules' brother saw his sister in the state she was in at the hospital, when he was summoned to say his goodbyes, he thought something didn't add up. And so he called the police and asked them to investigate the cause of death because he thought his brother-in-law, AB, might have had something to do with it. He had also gone over to the house at the parsonage and noticed what he thought looked like someone had been cleaning up blood, but not done a great job. Like it was like a little smeared around. Mm-hmm. He asked AB about it. And AB said to him that, oh, yeah, that the EMTs, they came back and cleaned up for me. And Jules' brother called bullshit on that statement and told AB, like, they don't be doing that. I know, right? Because I used to drive an ambulance. So you can see how the brother-in-law vibes are founded in more than just like she looked super banged up to have just taken a fall at the hospital. He thinks AB is being really weird and he needs some answers as to why. Well, the local authorities did look into Jules' cause of death and her body was examined, minus the organs, because they had already been shipped off, except for the heart, that is. Her heart got rejected and returned by the donor people because there were some elevated levels that indicated Jules had suffered a heart attack. And so when the officer in charge learned that information, he called up Jules' brother and told him that a heart attack was the cause of death and the investigation was closed. And it was, but it wasn't. Or I should say maybe it shouldn't have been. There was a mix-up because the medical examiner who examined her did not believe that Jules' head injuries correlated with a fall down the stairs. For one, she had 14 wounds to her head, which meant she would have had to have hit every stair.
Oh, like all the stairs.
Twice.
Oh.
Yeah. And when he examined the returned heart, he found that the levels were elevated because of the CPR that had been performed and that she had not suffered a heart attack. And he wrote that up and also wrote up that she should be investigated as a homicide. But unfortunately, his request for a homicide investigation was lost in the shuffle, and that investigation wouldn't take place for a whole decade. And by that time, AB had managed to get himself a new wife who just coincidentally also suffered a traumatic brain injury that left some more questions to be answered. In 2001, so I mean a hot minute, mm-hmm. Jewel died in 1999. AB married a woman named Betty. So that's pretty quick to move on, but given yes, AB and Betty were not spring chickens and Betty was divorced and AB had lost Jewel so suddenly, all of their children and families were happy for this couple's, you know, second chance at love.
Yeah.
Shortly after they got married, AB and Betty moved to Readers, Pennsylvania, about 2 hours away from Lebanon, where AB had accepted another job as a pastor at a Methodist church, which also had the perk of a parsonage for him to live in. A side note, at this parsonage, it's on like, you know, of course the church grounds, but the church is all surrounded by a cemetery, like everywhere.
Okay.
Like go I'm play hide and seek in the tombstone. I don't think that's such a good perk then.
Yeah.
That's like a real downer vibe if you want a backyard party, right? You know?
It definitely is a downer vibe. You know, I almost, we were going to rent a house and it had a cemetery and it wasn't in its backyard, but it was like in the front yard, you know, like the front door faced the cemetery. Couldn't do it.
Yeah. 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 You know, to each their own.
I know.
Right? Okay. So the parishioners at the new church loved AB and they loved Betty. But according to AB, Betty wasn't giving up the love, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. She wasn't sharing her bed.
Right. He said she was menopausal and it had been 2 years.
Whoa, Betty. sometimes you just gotta do it, even if you're not into it.
No, it's called lube, right?
There are things to do to help you just get through it.
But, you know, okay, so.
Was AB attractive, man?
No. I mean, to maybe to some, but not to me.
Okay.
Okay. He was not one to go without getting banged, right? You know, he's got a history. So actually, AB was all about getting banged. He is described as being compulsive about it.
Like he didn't even care that it wasn't with his wife.
Right.
But I'm not giving it up. You listen to Dr. Laura.
Yeah, I recommend. Okay. But listen, I told you this is according to AB.
Okay. Yeah. So we're
taking it with a little salt.
Okay. Even though he's a preacher man.
Right.
Not believing the.
Yeah. He's a preacher man whose computer was full of pornography.
Mm, okay.
I'm not trying to porn shame anyone, but just give you porn shame. A lot of people look at porn. It's like not a big deal, but I'm just telling you,
it could be a big deal.
He was compulsive about it. Like this was not like he had like thousands of images. Like he had clearly spent tons of hours. They say
he should have been doing tons of hours on the Bible research and not the porn.
That
sites.
Is what I'm saying. Yeah. He is like spending thousands of hours looking at images of the like flesh when on the pastoral computer. He's all like up, you know, in the parsonage, living on a comfortable salary and rent free and shit. And everyone thinks he's locked in the office looking at scripture, the word of the Lord.
But he's
not so much.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Right.
AB, see your way out of there.
Right. Okay. Okay. And so I'm telling you, I'm mentioning this because maybe Betty was giving it up. Maybe AB was just insatiable.
Okay.
Okay. Because I think that happens. For the record, most husbands I know complain that their wife does not give it up as much as they would like. But fortunately, most husbands I know don't use that as an excuse to be pumpkin eaters.
Right.
Or they all would be. Right?
That you know of.
That I know of. Okay. And to make matters worse, AB was eating pumpkin in the house of the Lord, too, with a woman named Cindy. Cindy was also employed by the church. She was married to a man named Joe Musante, and she worked as the church secretary. Mm-hmm. The affair that was going on between AB and Cindy was first exposed by Cindy's daughter, Samantha. Samantha was 16, and she was doing what 16-year-old girls be doing, snooping. And when she was snooping through her mom's text, she found some between her mama and Pastor AB that Samantha deemed inappropriate. Mm-hmm. Does your teenage daughter have your passcode?
She does have my passcode. Yeah. Yes. She could snoop in my text. There's nothing.
Yeah, I know. There's nothing. I'm not like, I'm not worried. Just a lot of F-bombs and stuff. Yeah. Like,
but
yeah.
No, I don't think she probably thinks I'm so boring.
Yeah. All right. Well, these texts that Samantha stumbled upon, they weren't super salacious. They were like, you look so nice today. Can't wait to see you later. Love you. But, you know, that's extra.
Yeah.
And
but it's not like.
Yeah. But still, Samantha, like, she knew what was up.
She was like, this is not.
This is, there's something more.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's picking up some vibes. So Samantha's next move is pretty boss, I think, for a 16-year-old. You see, she didn't want her daddy Joe to find out and be heartbroken. So she wrote an anonymous email to the pastor that someone knew what was going on between him and Cindy and they better stop or they would be exposed.
Oh, okay.
Smart,
go,
right?
Girl. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, smart, but somehow AB figured out it was Samantha that sent the email. Mm-hmm. And so he summoned her to his office for a meeting with her and Mama Cindy, and the two berated Samantha and told her she had some nerve sending that email and that there was nothing going on inappropriate and she better just get that out of her head, young lady. Well, Samantha, of course, didn't have a choice but say like, yeah, okay.
Sure.
Right. Sure. I'm just kidding. Well, after AB's wife, Betty, died, and Cindy's husband, Joe, died.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to get back. We're in a big circle, circling it. Okay. They couldn't keep their hands off each other, and everyone was clear that there was something going on between them, and it had been going on for a minute, clearly. Puke, right? Uh-huh. Okay, so how convenient is it when two pumpkin eaters both lose their spouses? And then they get to like just change their status from adulterers to just assholes. I mean, it's like, it reminds me of like the Vallos. Like, do you not think people are going to think something if both of your spouses die within a hot minute of each other?
Yeah, they are going to think something.
Of course. Of course. People are going to be giving you side eye. Well, how that happened in this case, Betty was victim number one. Her and AB were found by a passerby in their vehicle after crashing into the guardrail. The crash, it turns out, was not enough to knock any change out of the cup holder or shatter the windshield, yet it was enough to yield Betty unconscious and covered in blood when the passerby found them. It struck the man that found them that it was strange that AB had a cell phone and didn't seem to be hurt at all, that he had waited for someone to come by to call for help. But yeah, he thought, oh, he must be in shock or something. When help did arrive and Betty was rushed to the hospital and her children and family arrived, they were struck by the lack of emotion AB showed. But they also just chalked it up to shock. When it was determined that Betty, just like Jewel, had suffered a traumatic brain injury, AB did not waste time pulling the plug and having his bride of 7 years cremated within 24 hours.
Oh my gosh, that's like a red flag right there. Every time, man.
Totally.
Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. Acorns helps you build your financial future in the background so you can focus on all your holiday shopping and parties. So genius. Another great thing about Acorns is you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or even just your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to the dollar automatically and invest your spare change for you. So that coffee you grab on the way to the mall, that's investing. And you get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. With Acorns, every single gift you buy this year could put more money in your investment account. It's like cash back, but the bonus investments have a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns investing. Involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Lady listeners, are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you are, you are most definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormonal disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. They are in our food, water, the air we breathe. They are all up in our business, messing with our hormones.
then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through, perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier through these changes. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. I've been taking Hormone Harmony for months and will keep on keeping on because it just makes life easier. I feel less stress, less bloat. And just even, I feel more like myself. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
AB explained that how the accident occurred was that he was rushing to take Betty to the hospital because she had a jaw ache. And a deer came out of nowhere and he lost control and landed in the guardrail. He also said Betty was real uncomfortable on the ride, and so for whatever reason, she took her seatbelt off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the coroner did not see how mild the accident actually was, but it was communicated to him that Betty was an unrestrained passenger in a high-speed accident, he wrote on the record that her injuries correlated with the cause of death being an auto accident and did not order an autopsy. But Betty was given a brain scan prior to passing, which is going to come in handy later when foul play finally becomes investigated. Mm-hmm. We'll circle back to it. Those close to Betty thought it was a bit off that, according to AB, she had taken off her seatbelt. Like, I never take off my seatbelt. And if I do, it's for like 10 seconds and it's like an emergency.
Yeah, I do not. I'm a seatbelt wearer. My husband, when we first met, would not wear his damn seatbelt. And I was like, this is a deal breaker. Sorry, you have children with me. You will wear your seatbelt.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I know.
Not sorry.
I know. You know, I was just in a limo with my kids and they, you know, like, you don't wear seatbelts in a limo.
Yeah.
And my kids were like, this is wild.
I know. It's wild. You should wear your seatbelt. They do have seatbelts in the limos.
Do they?
They do. I only know this because I went in a limo with children when they were very young and all the parents were like, they need seatbelts. And so the limo driver like dug them all out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like in there somewhere. Digging.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't foresee a lot of limos in our future. It was kind of a one and done thing.
Yeah.
But anywho, so the no seatbelt thing is like, that's that's strange. Seemed out of character for Betty, but they let it go. Then when AB, the pastor, opted not to speak at the funeral for his wife because, you know, he said he's usually always doing the talking of these things and he just wanted to sit this one out, they thought like, okay, everyone grieves differently. This death has left the man that always speaks speechless. But when his choice in urn for his beloved wife was one with a damn deer on it, you know, like the Bambi that was supposed to be the cause of death, they were like, shoot, AB, that seems like poor taste, you know?
Yeah.
But the family still didn't suspect that the pastor had bludgeoned, you know, their Betty and staged a car accident at that point. That wasn't until his affair with Cindy was out in the open on account of her husband, Joe, taking his own life after he had uncovered the truth. Samantha had managed to keep her mother's affair to herself until after Cindy and AB's flirtatious rapport raised Cindy's husband, Joe's suspicions. And when the two pumpkin eaters, AB and Cindy, were off on a day trip together and Joe found out, he asked Samantha if she knew anything and Samantha told her dad the truth. Joe confronted Cindy and she agreed to end it with AB and work on their marriage, but she never ended it with AB. Joe suspected as much and he was checking the phone bills and he could see that they were still doing an awful lot of talking. And Joe was devastated over losing his wife, Cindy, to the pastor. I mean, like, it's his pastor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a burn.
You think?
Yeah. And to add to that, Joe had struggled with alcohol and had fallen off the wagon. And so he was just not in a good, you know, headspace to handle the weight of it all. Now, somehow Cindy knew Joe was upset and that he had left the house with a gun. And so she warned AB to get out of town, which he did. He went and stayed at a motel.
Okay.
Cindy and Samantha also left because Cindy was fearful of what action Joe was going to take. Joe left a message for his daughter, Samantha, that said, "If you love me at all, you'll call me back." But she didn't get the message in time. Joe was a carpenter, and he had built AB this amazing desk with crosses on it. Joe broke into the church office and sat at the desk and shot himself.
And we're sure?
Or we're sure. Yeah, AB. Yeah, it was definitely suicide. There had been whispers of something going on between, you know, like AB and his secretary, Cindy, among the parishioners. But now that her husband had taken his life at Joe's desk, the talk was more than talk. Now they were demanding to know answers. What has been going on, right? And in addition to the parishioners, you know, Joe's family wanted those answers. And when they learned that Cindy knew Joe was on the loose and unstable with a gun, and she had told AB, and neither one of them called the police to intervene, they were flabbergasted.
What would they do?
Well, the police.
I just wonder what the police would do.
I mean, they could have pulled him over if they would have thought he might go to the church looking for him. I mean, maybe they could have, you know, like talked him off the ledge.
Yeah. I just wonder really if you're like, hey, 911, my husband just left. He has a gun with him.
Well, I think you say, and I've been banging the pastor and he's real mad and, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
Like this could go a lot of wrong ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they would send a bolo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Joe's sister, she didn't like the way any of it went down, right? And so she got in touch with the Methodist powers that be and filed a formal complaint with them against AB. And, you know, they took it seriously and responded by needing a meeting with him. Instead of answering questions, AB responded by just resigning. He was ordered to move out of the church parsonage. This was all like within a month of Joe passing. And so then he moved right in with Cindy. And, you know, the two of them could not contain their affection. And so, you know, everybody knew that these two were a thing and the rumors were true. And people started really openly talking about additional bad behaviors of AB and his rendezvous that had maybe they had been keeping to themselves, you know, because nobody, maybe you see the pastor do something not, you don't appreciate, but you don't say anything because nobody wants to call out the pastor.
Right.
Right. But, you know, ring-a-ling, people were calling now and because he was no longer the pastor. And AB and Cindy, they're not denying it. They were basically flaunting it. Now, imagine how difficult this is for Samantha. Her father had not left a note, but under her bed, he left evidence of the affair, like the phone bills and everything. And so she knows that this affair had like put her daddy over the edge. And
God,
now the man
so
involved in
her.
It is living in her home.
My God. Forget about it.
And her mama is not even trying to put up the grieving widow front. She is just like banging AB and giving off sex step vibes.
Oh my God, no.
No.
This poor girl.
Poor, poor Samantha. So her and her little brother had to put up with this creep in their home for almost a year. The police had been investigating Betty's death now during that time. By this point, they had made the correlation between Betty and Jules' deaths. And so they wanted to get AB for both. And, you know, it takes time to gather enough evidence to make it stick. But Samantha, she didn't know any of that was going on, you know?
Yeah.
But she knew there was, you know, more to like the story and it was all bad. And then when her mother announced her engagement to AB, Samantha became terrified that her mother would be another one of the victims of this AB. Mm-hmm. And so she called the police. Well, they knew he was a danger. And so the decision was made that now, you know, it was like now or never. This was the time they had to move in on AB. And so AB was arrested and charged with the murder of Betty. Some of the pertinent evidence that had been under investigation that came out at the trial was that although by the time investigators searched the parsonage, it had been months since Betty's murder. Well, it was vacant and they were still able to find blood evidence. Like, how lazy can you be that you do not clean
up? He didn't care.
Yeah.
He thought that he was invincible.
Yeah. I mean, it worries me. I think that most...
And don't you think he killed the other wife? So he was like,
was lousy at cleaning that one up too. I mean, unfortunately, my husband is, he's a tornado. He leaves the shit all over. But I mean, he is a really good deep cleaner. Like, he's better than me at that. So I think there would not be any evidence to find.
Me and Jeremiah are so the same.
But this was bad. I mean, there were like still like droplets of blood.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Okay. So there was a trail of drops of blood from the garage door leading to where the passenger seat of the car would have been.
Oh my God. I mean, really didn't clean up.
Yeah, really didn't clean up. So they demonstrated that this is exactly where the passenger seat would have been by pulling a PT Cruiser, like AB drove, by the way, total douche canoe car for the record, into the garage.
Uh-huh.
AB's defense was that Betty's blood was in the garage because she had cut herself moving a pile of wood.
Right.
Okay. Well, there was a wood pile, so they checked it out, but there was not any blood on the wood. And it was on top of a newspaper that was dated months after Betty's death. Oh. This revelation of the newspaper led AB's defense to argue, we need to clarify that was the wrong wood pile.
Sounds like the Karen Reed trial.
Because, you know, people be having more than one wood pile.
Oh, right. Okay. I mean, right? Sure.
Like, maybe not. Okay. The most disturbing evidence that was presented were those brain scans that I told you I would circle back to in the beginning. So although there wasn't an autopsy on Betty, like Jewel, they did have these images of her skull. And when they are compared side by side, it looks like you're looking at twins. Like, however he hit them in the same way, the same angle, with the same object.
Oh.
Yeah. They have the same, same fractures, same area, whatever.
What was it?
It was something like cylindrical. They suspect it was a crowbar, but, they don't have the weapon, so they don't know for sure.
Yeah.
AB argued he had no reason to kill Betty. There was no life insurance.
Hello, Cindy.
Yeah. Okay. He conceded to he had done some misdeeds in the past. Couldn't really deny all the pumpkin eating, right? Another woman testified that she had an affair with him for years. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people want to step forward and say that they were banging the pastor.
No, I mean, it makes you like kind of a bad person too.
Oh, well, yeah, it's not a good look. Okay. And there was loads of, they found his computer. There was loads of evidence on his computer of his sexual compulsion from thousands of porn sites he visited and emails that detailed the rendezvous he had partook in while married to both Betty and Jewel. His whole argument that he had was that, I'm a cheater, but I continue to cheat no matter what. So why would I need to murder a wife? I'm just going to keep on cheating. Well, that was countered with evidence that Betty had had enough and was looking to end the marriage. And that wasn't working for AB because divorce is frowned upon when you're a pastor. He likes the sympathy. They don't like divorce. And, getting divorced, what if Betty felt like she needed to confide in people? It's because he's cheating. That'd be like reputation suicide for him.
Yeah.
At the trial, Cindy took the stand and read some gross emails between her and AB. And she really had it bad for him. Like, really, really bad. She was really all about, he was rocking her world. That's what the emails say. Okay.
And her husband was not rocking her world, I guess. Mm-mm. Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah. So she continued on supporting AB throughout the trial, and she continued to support him after he was convicted and sentenced to life for the murder of Betty. I mean, wake up, Cindy. It's your dick. Okay. Yeah.
You were next, Cindy, after he got tired of you. So
totally.
You should be thanking your daughter, like, real hard at this point.
Okay. So his daughters with Jewel also supported him throughout and have spoken publicly professing his innocence, which that I understand more. You know, they are his children and it is all circumstantial. So, you know, like, okay, fine. It's your dad. Like, you just tell yourselves whatever you need to, daughters. But after the trial for Betty, AB pled guilty to murdering their mother, Jewel, and received 40 years for that. But he said that he just did it to save his family from going through another trial. AB is 76 now and is serving out his life sentence plus 40 years at the Green Correctional Facility in Pennsylvania. I am not sure if Cindy is still putting money on his commissary or if she has moved on.
I hope she's moved
on. By now. I mean, it was recorded like a couple years after that she still was. I don't care much for her lack of compassion, though, so I don't really care what she's doing. Like, fine. Right. Okay. Who I do care about is Samantha.
Yeah.
And I was able to web sleuth her, and I will report it appears she is happy and healthy and is living a productive life at the age of 32. She is good. A total disco biscuit.
Yeah. I thought so. I mean, a girl like that.
Smart.
A smart girl. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Smart girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, holy moly.
Holy moly. Okay, so yes, thank you for the suggestion. Also, I know that I just said recently, pastors be doing the dirty. This is another example.
It's true. I mean, not all pastors, not all so don't of them, come but it's
a, if
us,
you do no. like to do the dirty, it's a good front. It's a good front. You're fooling everybody but me.
Yeah,
a lot of fraud.
I mean, lots of fraud. You know, the thing is that they're really good talkers, right? So it's
charismatic.
A perfect,
you gotta be, right?
Yeah. So it's a really good. It is a really good front because you get all those people in there, and they are just. I mean, look at these mega churches out here in Texas. Like,
oh, I didn't mention this, but one of AB's like side gigs,
yeah,
was he traveled singing gospel music.
Oh.
So he got to take his dirty on the road, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, listen, and somebody's paying for him to get all over and travel with his gospel music. So, you know, it's unfortunate that some of these guys are not good guys and it makes everybody else look bad. I'll say it's the same for cops. It's the same for teachers. It's the same, you know,
in every bunch doesn't mean they're all bad.
You just got to find the bad apples. You got, you know, when you have your spidey sense says something is not right, it's usually not right. So
yes,
let's just all say that we are going to
go with our gut.
Go with our gut. Yeah.
Or at least listen to me.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I wanted to ask all of you for a Christmas present. For us.
Oh, great. Much.
Yeah. That Christmas present is to tell a friend about us. So
yes,
it's
please.
Free.
It's free.
It's absolutely free to you. And that would make our day and make our year, close out our 2024 with a bang. You know what I'm saying? Like more listeners. Also, if you want to check out our Thursday edition, we have a Patreon. You probably have heard us talk about it, but maybe you haven't. So go to patreon.com/housewives of true crime. Or if you listen on Apple, and you're too lazy to go to Patreon, which I totally get because, listen, I probably would just go to Apple and go to Clink Clink Club too. But
I know a lot of people do it that way, but
Patreon is better.
It is better.
Because you get to interact with us. We can put videos up there and we know who you are. On Apple, it's totally anonymous. We don't know you and we don't get to interact at all with anybody. It's just kind of, it just shows up.
And
your
with Patreon, you can add it to your RSS feed. So yeah, it's like, can. It takes you one more minute to sign up on Patreon instead of the Clink Clink Club.
Yeah.
and then it's just as convenient forever.
Yeah, it is. It is. So try to do that. And then if you haven't given us a review, please do that. I know I'm asking a lot of all of you. And we have a beauty line. It's called Five Crimes. It's amazing. Look at my skin right now. If you guys are watching on YouTube, I just put the serum on my face. It's glowing. You see it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's, listen, and I have been trying.
So many compliments.
I needed to like do the experiment myself. So, you know, my daughters are like that age where they're starting to get, you know, like pimples here and there.
Yeah.
And our illegal glow serum has a pineapple in it, and yeah, it is amazing on acne. And so I told the girls, start using this every night after you wash your face.
And they did. And
yeah, and it's worked. It's so much worked. Yeah. Yeah, it's so much better.
We also have a hair serum that helps your hair grow. It really, truly does. We did have a guy named Jim that ordered it. He only used it for less than a month and he said it didn't work. But I promise you, Jim, if you would have just tried a little, I mean, it doesn't, you got to use it for a couple months before you really see the difference. But my hair is so thick now. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I cut it short now, but it's like, it is so thick. I don't have to wear my clip-in extensions ever, which is, I have not said that
in the early days. You know, we're all about the magic hair.
Yeah, the magic hair. I don't even use the magic hair anymore, you guys. I never thought I would say that. And I'm 44 years old, which is when like your hair starts falling out. And so that is one of just the most awesome products. So go to fivecrimes.com or put it on your Christmas list. Tell your husband to buy it for you. You will love it. And I think that's all for today. You have anything else on your little mind?
That's it.
Okay.
Balls out. November football. Let's do this.
And go Dodgers.
Well, they won.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's, you know, you can jump on the bandwagon now if you want.
Oh, okay.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. All right. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.